and but we did that for that period of time till we won our court case. And we went back to the beach, and within 24 hours, the city had come up with a loophole they found in the judge's decision and banned us from the beach again. And each week thereafter, I have been accosted by the police and told that I've been trespassing on the public beach and subject to arrest. In fact, this coming Wednesday, I fully expect to be arrested.
So I know that you were told that you should move your operation, what, 9 miles north of Nome, Alaska, or?
Yeah, it's in Siberia. It's the closest thing to Siberia they can find in Fort Lauderdale.
How far away from your previous, the beach was it?
8 miles to walk it, and it is a open, barren field, which is just beneath the Lockhart Stadium, which is host to soccer games, and Executive Airport, which is a private airport. It is a barren, bumpy field with absolutely no amenities whatsoever. There are no restrooms anywhere in the vicinity. There are no tables to seat people on. And it's just a horrible, horrible place that the homeless cannot get to. That's the other small problem.
Hmm. Has the judge sort of validated this city, essentially, deportation order for homeless people? If they want to eat, they got to get way out of sight, it sounds like.
No, that's the whole idea, was to keep them out of sight. And the judge has been very quiet about the whole thing, and in fact, she has been away. She's coming back tomorrow, and we had filed papers citing the city of Fort Lauderdale for contempt of the judge's order and or arrest.
And you're expecting a ruling on that fairly soon?
Well, you hope. We had asked for a hearing on Tuesday. The wonderful lawyer I have, John David, and he is a wonderful lawyer, had a case before the same judge in a time slot, which is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. They settled the case out in court, which the judge had not known about prior to our filing. And he is in hopes that she would give us that time slot to hear our case, but of course the city has already filed a motion to quash our whole case.
Now, is your attorney pro bono, or is he being
paid? He's pro bono. He's a great man. He really is.
Wonderful. Wow. He probably, you know, probably his salary is at least double yours.
No, well, it is. It's quite, the only thing we pay is depositions, things of that sort.
Now, are you still cooking in the same church you were, or have you decided?
We don't know whether we'll be cooking there as of Wednesday, because last Thursday there's another church, another Methodist church, where we have always been a participant in. We pay for all the food, all of the supplies that go into that feeding, and it's done by a group from the church where I do my feeding, my cooking, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there last Thursday with the candy that I always bring for the homeless people, I was told by the lady who is oversees that particular operation that the pastor, the head pastor at the church where I do my cooking, had said that he would prefer it if I don't show up there anymore. This is kind of ironic, since I pay for everything that goes into that feeding.
So you are the pariah of Fort Lauderdale, eh?
I am. I'm among the 10 least wanted.
Well, we should definitely exchange places. I think it'll be at least refreshing.
Right at home at Santa Cruz, right?
I think that you'd be right at home, and we can you know, set you up here. Although Food Not Bombs does serve in Santa Cruz at least once a week, and we won this fight here because we kept getting arrested and we kept, you know, feeding people, and there were more of us. It sounds like you're doing this as a sort of a lone effort. And have you any supporters there in Fort Lauderdale?
No, we had an unexpected one. The column I wanted to fax you is by the premier columnist here, and he does an open letter to the city of Fort Lauderdale accusing them of negotiating in bad faith, which of course is what they're doing. I have one supporter unexpectedly last week while I was unloading the truck preparatory to feeding on the beach. A gentleman came up and said, "Sir, can I help you?" I said, "My dad was Sir, I'm Arnold. I'm Lee," and I looked up, and it was Lee Majors, the $6 million man.
Huh. Did he bring along $6 million?
Oh, but he stood in our feeding line and fed the herb roasted chicken, three pans of it, stayed the whole evening.
Wow, that's
great. The police were there, and he said he'd be back this week.
So maybe you'll get...
It was wonderful to have somebody of prominence come out and be on our side. Hopefully he'll return this week, and he will be able to see me being put under arrest.
Do you think, you know, they have been threatening this and threatening that. Do you think they are, is this something you're just going to, we had this for years.
Next week, Robert, because when the park ranger lieutenant who comes with an officer from Fort Lauderdale Police, because the park ranger on the beach cannot do an actual arrest. He has to have it done by Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw him coming towards me, and I said, well, I guess this is warning number two, you know, since I was allowed to speed back on the beach. He said, no, Mr. Abbott, I'm afraid it's number four, because we're counting last year's warnings, too, and, you know, number three, and that's it. That's the max.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited. There was a pause, and I fully expected at that point the Fort Lauderdale policeman was going to issue his, you know, profound speech. I hereby place you under arrest for trespassing on Fort Lauderdale Beach as an habitual offender, by the way. Habitual offender. But nothing happened. He made his trespassing speech, and then he added something else. He said, you're also breaking another law. I said, what's that? He said, you moved tables. You moved picnic tables. And that's against the law. I said, well, I've scoured the law, and I never saw anything about not being able to move tables. On the beach, people move tables all the time. They have a company picnic, they move five tables together, and, you know, they're always moving them around. But if you move it for the homeless, that's against the law.
And do you have, do you have anybody with a video camera who's observing this whole process?
Well, it's always being videoed because the news has always been covering this story.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have access to that without paying them an arm and a leg?
Last week, Channel 10 here was videoing, and unfortunately they went down the beach when the officers came, so they missed it. But the week before, they were probably every station in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area was here videoing. I don't have the tape of it. We have Fox News did a five-minute tape of us the year before when we were told to leave the beach, and Oliver Stone was filming right next to us, doing a movie with Al Pacino. Of course, about a dozen officers were there protecting his persons and property while we were being told to get off the beach.
I think they were also having a spread of lunch or dinner, you were saying, while they were telling you not to feed homeless people.
Oh, their lobster and steak and everything else, and completely jamming up the parking lot so no cars could even get through. And I was also cited the week before for blocking the sidewalk by backing my truck, you know, right onto the beach area.
Have these tickets actually gone to court and been affirmed, or?
I've paid the $20 ticket for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other stuff has all been taken care of in the court case.
Now, what is this, what charge are you actually facing, and what kind of penalties?
Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Trespassing on Fort Lauderdale Beach. And this is a misdemeanor, I assume, punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, something like that?
I would presume so. I don't really know what the ramifications are.
Now, have people like Reverend Wiley Drake of Buena Park, who also faced criminal charges for lodging homeless people in his church, been in touch with you?
No, nobody has been in touch from California.
Because I think that might interest him, and as well as Food Not Bombs, I know, probably has a local chapter in Fort Lauderdale. Have they been involved at all?
No, we haven't. Heard from them at all.
You're the Lone Ranger here, it sounds like.
Ex-bad boy, they call me.
Yeah. Well, I know you also were an advocate kind of when there was a tent city in Fort Lauderdale for quite
well,
a period
tent
of time.
City was there for 5.5 years, and we were the ones who, in other words, they set up a tent city which took care of anywhere from, it was supposed to house 200, but at peak times there were 400 or 500 people there.
Now, this was a response to the nearby Pottinger decision in
Miami,
in Dade County, Miami,
right.
Or Miami and Dade County there, where they ruled that they had to either set up safe zones or stop enforcing laws that criminalized homeless people
right.
for life.
The interesting thing is that they tore down Tent City a little over a year ago and built a $9.4 million HAC, Homeless Assistance Center.
And who is it, assisting the homeless or a bunch of middle-class bureaucrats?
Bureaucratic organization, $9.4 million, and the max is $200. And the city and everybody else here in power says that since they built the hack, there's no more need for any other organization to take care of the homeless. And that's, of course, dividing $6,400 into $200 and see what you get. And so that's been the attitude all the way through ever since they built that place, and that's when they started harassing me.
Have they been arresting and ticketing homeless people for sleeping in Fort Lauderdale?
They certainly have, and they arrest them for open container, drinking a beer can in a paper bag, and of course I've never seen anybody drinking a Coke out of a paper bag, but meanwhile everybody can sit on Los Olas Boulevard, our posh Oceanside Boulevard, and drink all day and all night, doesn't matter, but if a homeless person drinks, he's in jail. And they do arrest them for sleeping on the ground as trespassing. Even though the Pottinger decision specifically says that cannot be done. But they do it anyhow.
Now, in Miami, of course, the Pottinger decision didn't apply to Fort Lauderdale, as I understand it.
Because it was a district, the Southern District of Florida. It was just a federal judge who made this decision, and it does apply to... It does apply to our county as well as all others. But they don't pay any attention to it.
So, I know Clyde Atkins is dead. He died about a year ago.
But it was... That was a federal court decision.
That was the federal judge who made that decision.
The District of Florida, which does include Broward County.
So, in fact, it was required. They feared it would be.
Right, and they absolutely pay no attention to it.
Now, what is Miami also turning a deaf ear to the Pottinger decision, or are they continuing?
I don't really know much about what goes on. I have my hands full in Fort Lauderdale, to be honest with you. But they have a better facility for the homeless there, and, of course, they have the backing of some powerful people down there. Albert Chapman is the publisher of the Miami Herald, and a lot of other business people are behind it. And here we have Wayne Huizenga, whose group supposedly is in charge of the hack, and that's a power struggle between the county government and the private industry, but he doesn't care anything about the rest of the homeless. That's a monument to him. That's a statue built to him, by the way, and I'm all in favor of it, as long as he's in the middle and they pour the concrete around it. Wonderful idea.
An outspoken Peck's bad boy, I might add.
Yes, I am. I don't pull punches, and I say it like it is. Look, I went to Mississippi in the 60s to register Negroes. I've been fighting for civil rights all my life. I was writing papers when I was 9 years old against the capital punishment, because I've always believed, and I still do, that if you ain't got the capital, you get the punishment. And there's no justice for a little man in this country. You know it as well as I do. But you have to speak out and be vociferous, and I've been called a political gadfly by the editorial staff up here, and when you see this one column, you'll see that we do have some friends who believe in what we do, but the editorial people are dictated to by the advertisers. So I'm called every kind of bad name in those kind of articles, but that's okay.
So is there any chance, we're here in Santa Cruz, we're fighting to set up safe sleeping zones, and the city council's now running scared in the other direction. We're thinking of doing something like Eugene homeless activists did when they presented a petition with 3,000 signatures stating that they would all begin civil disobedience if the council did not act.
Right.
And we figured the same kind of willingness, methodical willingness to begin a form of peaceful civil disobedience might put the city council on notice that it's got to stop dithering us around there. So have you got much activist support for not just the right to feed, which seems pretty elementary, but I guess the right to sleep is also elementary, but just these...
Closest, Robert, we came to that is there was a message board in the Sun Sentinel website, and the question was, should Arnold Abbott be allowed to feed on the beach?
Mm-hmm.
There were over 400 answers to date, of which a good 95-96% are in favor of us feeding on the beach, and the others are opposed. They think all homeless are bums and derelicts and, you know, should be put on Devil's Island. The columnist who wrote this wonderful column, this is the second one he's written about our problem, and his mail is running about 99-1 for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a groundswell of support, but that doesn't mean anything to the people who are dictated to by the two most powerful interests here, and that's real estate and tourism.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
How about national homeless organizations? Has the National Coalition for the Homeless or the National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty or...
None of them have been in touch. The ACLU didn't want to bother with us when I contacted them about a year and a half ago.
And they're still reluctant to come around, or you haven't been back to them?
I heard anything from any of them. We're lone rangers here. We're fighting it by ourselves. And I'm blessed with a wonderful group of volunteers who stick with me. Of course, nobody else is subject to arrest but me, and that's fine. That's good. I wouldn't want it any other way. However, it does scare off a lot of the homeless, who, as soon as they see the police, they're scared to death.
Yeah, I think that's the point.
Yeah, that's one of the ideas of bringing them around, is to scare them off.
Well, you were feeding people when there actually was a tent city, and there was a controversy even then. They wanted to move you from one...
Before tent city. I started in Holiday Park, which is a great big public park here. They chased me out of there. I went across from Parker Playhouse, which is one of the places of interest to a lot of tourists, and chased me from there, and then they set up Tent City. They set it up without any provision for food, by the way, and we arranged for meeting twice a day, every day, 7 days a week. We couldn't do it all ourselves, so I arranged for other groups. In many cases, if they couldn't afford food, I gave them food, and they did it. So they were taken care of, and they had a 3x7 space they could call their own. They could put their belongings above it or below it. They had showers, they had restrooms, they could wash clothes and hang them on the fence. And they didn't even put cots in. We put 80 cots in to start it off, and I guess we shamed them into it, and they destroyed our cots and then put in cots all over the place. So we were very much involved in Tent City all for its 5.5 years of existence.
So for 5.5 years, you guys served 2 meals a day?
Well, we had made sure 2 meals a day was served. We didn't. We served 4 days a week ourselves, but we made sure that the other 3 days that there were groups who were in there feeding.
Now, while there was a Tent City, was there an increase or magnet effect that homeless people come from all over Florida to come to the wonderful Fort Lauderdale Tent City?
No, I don't think it was. We have a perennially static, pretty much, of a population because of the weather, just as you do, I guess. You can't freeze to death here, except January, February gets pretty cold, but then we provide blankets and heavy clothing. We have a lot of new people who show up, but the same group that I've been feeding for 9 years is pretty much intact.
Mm-hmm. How about violence against the homeless? Has that increased, decreased, stayed the same, and how do the police deal with that, or do they?
The police look the other way, and the police have been guilty themselves of causing fatalities among homeless people. We've had cases of guys sleeping on the ground, and suddenly there's a burglary somewhere, and the police come across somebody sleeping, and they shoot him, and he was resisting arrest, that kind of thing.
Wow, has it happened frequently, or?
It's happened many times, and the abuse of the homeless is continuing. They're sleeping on the ground, of course, because there's no other place for them. They're kicked by the police when they come along, hit with billy clubs, and then if they rouse themselves and say, "What? That's resisting arrest. That's an extra charge."
Wow. How about the necessity defense? Here in California, a court decision made its way to the California Supreme Court, which had the effect of saying that if you are going to try someone for sleeping or, quote, camping, as they like to call it here, though it's not camping, it's survival sleeping, of course, you have to give them the opportunity to use what we call the necessity defense, which means, yes, I violated the law, but no, I had no other alternative, and it was the least... the lesser evil to do that. Do you have such a situation happening in Florida at all?
Well, the Pottinger Act says that you cannot arrest the person who's sleeping on the ground when there's no other place available. And, of course, they pay no attention to it.
So they actually are arresting people for that now, that specific charge?
They're arresting them for trespassing, sleeping on the ground. They're arresting them for public urination when they lock the restrooms against them. Excuse me, downtown they lock all of the restrooms that I've come across. You have to either be buzzed in or get a key. And that's strictly against the homeless. And the irony of it is to then arrest them for public urination, which makes no sense. I've been asked Becky if she had information. In California, they have these permanent...
The De La Croix, whatever they are, the...
Three ornate restrooms that are like $350,000 a piece.
They're self-washing restrooms.
Washing, right, and I thought it would be wonderful to have the business people who lock the homeless out to get some money together and pay for a couple of these downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been pushing for that, but I do need more information. If you can get me some, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, San Diego has the homeless are able to get a restroom open downtown in San Diego. When we went through there a couple years ago, they had done that by actually massively sleeping in, and a guy named Larry Milligan did a long fast to get a restroom put in down there. And it is one of these buzz-in restrooms, but they have a 24-hour attendant who's supposed to let anybody in.
Right.
And that's, I don't know if you might want to contact San Diego on that issue. Santa Cruz has been using porta-potties in the downtown area, but, not in the areas of highest need where people are sleeping or in vehicles or there have been a lot of so-called camping tickets, which are actually sleeping ban tickets, since camping tickets means an established campsite, and we're just talking about finding someone on the ground sleeping after 11 o'clock at night.
Don't you think there would be an opportunity for business people to protect themselves against the homeless using their restrooms?
You would think that would be not only for business people, but also be a reasonable concern of the community generally in terms of health and safety, not just for homeless people, but for tourists as well. For anybody who's around, who needs to do what we all need to do when we need to do it.
Yeah.
So it's, actually what they did here in Santa Cruz was they killed the safe zones by saying, oh, people are peeing and pooing all over, but we won't set up porta potties and dumpsters.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was, you know, it's your standard line. It's a form of bigotry. And I guess another question I have for you is, since there was such a swelling of activity to get Black Americans civil rights in the 60s, the 50s and 60s, you getting any support from people of color for this particularly, or?
No, I've called on the clergy as the other avenue to help us get something done, and they've absolutely ignored it. In fact, the church where I do my cooking, and I don't think I will be doing it there after this coming Wednesday, if I'm allowed to do it then, there's no support. There's an awful lot of hypocrisy.
Interesting.
People talk about it, and my editorial that I did was saying it's time that you practice what you preach. I mean, every one of them talks about Matthew quotes Jesus and saying what you do for the least of my people. They don't live it. They absolutely do not live it. In fact, I called it twice a year compassion, seasonal compassion. That's only Thanksgiving and Christmas do they care about the homeless, and the other 50 weeks of the year, forget it.
It's such a familiar story. What can people do in terms of registering protest or support? I mean, is there an email address, for example, that they can call, or they can send an email to, or I guess a phone number too, but an email address is probably the easiest thing for folks to...
Yeah, email to David Meeks, as the columnist who's been championing our cause, would be the best place to send emails, because he's collecting them.
So David Meeks is one word, David Meeks.
Right, his email is D Meeks, one word, D-M-E-E-K-S.
Uh-huh.
At sun-sentinel.com.
Sun-sentinel.com.
And then you just hit columnist, and you come up columns. In fact, both columns are in there that he's written about us.
Maybe we can do also is get some emails of the bureaucrats who are pushing this effort to drive you out of the area,
right,
and have some folks from across the country throw a little attention their way. Because sometimes these rats don't like the attention, tend to run for cover when they get it.
Oh, I know. We have one Black city commissioner who just resigned to run for the county office that they just created, a new county office. And he is an Uncle Tom of the worst water. He is determined, when I was feeding at a little Black church over there, which I still do, on today I'll be over there. Sundays I feed at that church. He's determined to close me down there, and... there's one other feeding program here, a cooperative feeding program that feeds on Broward Boulevard, which is really where most of them hang out, every Monday through Saturday from 9 to 11, and he's vowed to put them out of business.
Hmm.
So, I mean, we've got it coming from all ends.
Interesting.
No support from the churches, which is a crime, you know.
What about the Spanish-speaking community? What's the response there?
Well, very quiet. We don't hear anything from them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have as much of a Spanish-speaking community as Miami-Dade does.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some, but they haven't said anything. They haven't protested.
So what are the arguments that your critics use against you that you continue to hear that persuade people, or are there arguments that are persuading people, or is it just some sort of apathy? What's your reading of the situation?
It's primarily apathy from the public, and the arguments are the same old tired arguments that the homeless are dirty and diseased, and they prey on tourists, which is utter nonsense. These are the biggest cowards in the world. When they wouldn't cross into the little church I was feeding at, I accused them of doing something. I said, I bet my sister walked into that area, and you're afraid to cross it, and they are. They're cowards, basically. The homeless are more often the victims than they ever are the perpetrators, and you know that as well as I do. Mm-hmm. Put upon all the time.
Well, I know Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, which experienced a new round of harassment back in November, was told that they needed the permits. That's their latest deal, you know. And of course, Food Not Bombs told the city back, hey, you abolished your permit process in 1990. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call-in number 427-3772. If any of you want to call in, you've been listening to Arnold Abbott of Love Thy Neighbor, and apparently Feed 'Em Too. We got an incoming call. Let's see who's on the line. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, baby doll, what's happening?
Ah, it sounds like the Merlin Man.
That's right.
What's up, big boy?
Oh, just listening to your program, just waking up.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little late today, but... watching Saturday Night Live last night, and they had a monologue, and the guys were talking about how you know, in New York, they clean all the people off the street so the dogs can sleep there.
I wish they would clean the politicians off the streets. That would be even better.
Maybe we should start handing out, you know, dog and cat outfits.
Well, Merlin, any questions or comments on the Arnold Abbott interview or anything else you want to bring up?
That guy you're just interviewing?
Yeah.
Where's he at? I didn't catch that part.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida, actually.
No, I just think it's, you know, well, he seemed to mention a lot of the hypocrisy in the churches, and I think, you know, it's like we got the St. Francis Catholic Soup Kitchen, and I haven't been there in a long time, but I'm assuming that thing's still working. Is it?
I believe so, though. I haven't been there for a while either. Yeah, actually, that's going to be one of the points where we're hoping that the Roar flyers are going to be distributed. Roar is this new campers organization, Restore Our American Rights, and for anyone interested, it meets today at 4:30 at DuBois and or DuBois and Harvey West Boulevard out in Harvey West Park, concerned about kind of considerate camping rules and also standing up against bigotry backlash and council cowardice, that sort of thing.
Well, it seems like, you know, one of the things that made me think that that guy was talking about the hypocrisy in the church, that St. Francis Soup Kitchen's been doing something a long time. Peter started that, you know?
And, yeah, Peter Carota.
Yeah, and there's a lot of churches. I mean, that's what Bush and Reagan was saying. Oh, we don't have to have so much money going back in the community now because that's like the place where the churches can do something.
A thousand
community.
Points of light. That's Bush. Bush said that too.
Yeah, it's like that's not working.
You know,
and a lot of the Christians. I'm not here to knock Christians. Okay, that's not what I'm talking to you for. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of Christians, and they rather than pointing the fingers at people and looking down on them, that it would be more of a thing to help people out, you know, more of a witness, I guess you could say.
You know, I'm hoping that Christians and non-Christians alike will show up at city council meeting on Tuesday for the, I think, the very famous and glamorous Porta Potty Award that's going to be going to city council for its...
Not having any, huh?
Well, they don't believe in porta potties. I think they're going for colostomy bags and catheters for the homeless.
Hey, I walked down that Pacific Avenue with money in my pocket a lot of times, meaning that I was working.
Well, maybe you should.
No place to take a leak.
Well, you got to have your catheter with you at all times. I mean, that's really the new approach. It's kind of like holding your water. It's a form of self-control, and every homeless person, once they master that, can then work on not sleeping at night. See?
Well, it's pretty common knowledge that if you go into a business and it's not a restaurant, the pretty standard answer you get is the restaurants aren't open to the public.
I think possibly a piss-in might be appropriate. In fact, who knows what's going to happen at City Council on Tuesday. You know, you've got a lot of yellow council members. Maybe we should sort of decorate some of the surrounding area. I mean, although, of course, there is a bathroom open at City Council, and that's a commendable thing. But, of course, they closed it whenever there were homeless protests after City Council so that then Karen Clark of the Sentinel could blame the homeless for pooing and pissing.
Well, it's not just the homeless that need to use the bathroom. Everybody needs to use the bathroom.
You know, you would think so, wouldn't you?
Would they put the blame on the homeless?
Well, the homeless are particularly, they're flagrant violators, let's face
it. Let's pick on the poor ones that can't afford to support
themselves. They're always sleeping and urinating. I mean, I find that really disgusting myself.
I think a lot of people, Robert, aren't so ticked at the homeless as much as, I've heard people on your show more than once, and they're like, they want to make it a lifestyle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their constitutional right.
Yep.
But a lot of people are... You know, the ones that more...
Well, ask yourself, which has the worst effect on the society? A Silicon Valley gentrification, real estate speculation, kick out the RVs, get rid of all the low-income people lifestyle for the real estate speculators, or a person who decides that he has to go outside because he has to have the money to do a lot of... paying a lot of high expensive rents, yet he wants to be in Santa Cruz, so he lives in a vehicle or he tries to sleep where he can or where she can. It seems to me the real question there is, I mean, the question contains the answer. So.
Well, yeah, a lot of rents were lower, there'd probably be a lot less homeless in our community.
Well, listen, Merlin, I appreciate the call. Anything more you want to add before I...
Yeah, a couple days ago I was introducing a band at a local nightclub in town, and I came home and it was about 2 in the morning, and a friend, a very prominent citizen, gave me a ride home. And here in Capitola, and then it's a mobile home park.
We like to call it Capitola.
Yeah. And anyway, these cops parked outside the mobile home park. They were following us. So they didn't come in the mobile home park. They parked outside the mobile home park. And
Capitola police?
Yeah. And I'm sitting in my friend's car, and, you know, we're saying goodbye and thank you for the ride. And two cops come by with a guard dog, and they were shining their flashlights in every mobile home. And I asked them, hey, you know, is there any problem here? And they just ignored me after they blinded
Well, you're just trailer trash, Merlin. We know that.
What are they?
I don't want to say what they are on the air. I might be considered... well, it sounds like they were engaging in inappropriate behavior.
Well, they walked around... You know, I came in, right? But they walked around the entire mobile home park and shined their lights in everybody's window, mm-hmm. on everybody's doorstep, and then they, you know, walked out one by one, slowly, one after the other. And I didn't appreciate it.
Maybe you need a restraining order against the Capitola Police Department.
Good idea.
I gotta go, Merlin. I'll talk to you more later.
Okay.
Hey.
Well, me and my friends, we shop downtown, and sometimes we just hang around. But when we get tired and we wanna sit, the cops say get up and move it. 'Cause there's no sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sight gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. Now you better watch out where you set your tail, or you might spend 6 months sitting in jail. If you bum spare change, you might pay a fine, 'cause being poor is now a crime. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and socceroos, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. You're breaking the law if you try to sit, but we're not gonna stand for it. This sitting law didn't get my vote, so we're gonna sit down and rock the boat. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and socceroos, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and socceroos, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. There ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. Ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that was Mark Levy. Ain't no sitting, and actually there ain't no sleeping either in the city of Santa Cruz. Thank you, Catherine Byers, council member who has provided that bad, bad vote. We just had another call from Merlin, who wanted to let us know that from 10 to 6 next Sunday, is it next Sunday? I think it's two Sundays off, actually. 9th, 16th, 24th, 23rd. A couple Sundays down the road at Harvey West Park, there's going to be a cannabis as medicine fair or event in the Harvey West Park. So he's gotten a flyer. We'll have more details about that as it comes closer. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You're in the closing minutes of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. A couple of things I want to let you know quickly about. There is a special meeting of City Council tomorrow, Monday. Very unusual time for a City Council meeting. This concerns... There are two meetings, actually. One's at 10, one's at 1. The 10 a.m. session is a special City Council meeting in City Council chambers regarding the beach south of Laurel zoning designations. And I'm not sure what that means. I haven't seen the packet. It says the beach and south of Laurel comprehensive area plan. That's that obnoxious old beach south of Laurel plan that we thought was killed in the last election. It's popping its zombie head up again. The plan is now part of the city's general plan. State and city law requires zoning designations to comply with the adopted general plan designations. And they're going to have an overview of the zoning designations. They're going to give direction to staff to bring those zonings to public hearing. So it's a preliminary hearing around zoning in the beach flats. As you may know, Charlie Canfield, and I haven't studied this in terms of any direct documentation, he is reported to be using residentially zoned property that he purchased and demolished or let fall into disuse, making a lot of people homeless and destroying affordable housing. He's turned it into parking lot area, and he's using it for his commercial beach boardwalk. And of course, he wants to legalize that. He wants to change the whole shape of the beach area to expand his amusement park. That was fought at the last election. I guess the issue will be coming up tomorrow at 10 o'clock. You might want to come and check that out at City Council. At 1 o'clock, downtown strategy. Development standards for the Central Business District and a retail strategy, including options for regulation, incentives, and recruitment, will be presented. Sounds like a bunch of business bullshit, perhaps, for all you folks not so involved in that. But businesses are behind a lot of the problems that
I guess, homeless people face downtown, whether it be the purple-shirted hosts. They used to be green, now they've gotten purple. I guess that you move from nausea to bruising. I'm not quite sure what the symbolism is there. And again, the hosts, I assume, are not on this agenda item, but the downtown strategy is. That's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And they're going to allow, you are allowed to comment on those particular items, but not for oral communications. At 5:30, you'll have the Citizens Police Review Board. I've talked about that earlier. Better, of course, to file your complaints very briefly and speak about them as an oral communications period, and then consider really talking about police misconduct and broader changes in police policy that we want. To do that, we have to get together in a community tribunal, and I'm hoping that that's going to happen at some point in the future. Give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, if you're interested in that subject, police abuse, or you can call SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, an organization that's been around for a decade, mostly kind of a record-keeping organization. Nick Whitehead is the contact person there, his number 475-2012. A lot of numbers coming at you. Yeah, if you miss any of them, just think 423-HUFF, give a call to 423-HUFF, and we'll get back to you and give you any numbers that you may have missed. At 6 o'clock, Christopher Crone tomorrow will appear at the, I assume, at the Cafe Paragolisi, explaining what is coming up on the City Council agenda for Tuesday, which is the regular City Council meeting. The regular City Council meeting is it on Tuesday. On Tuesday at 1 o'clock is the closed litigation session. Not much happening there, although James Ney, who, as you may remember, was assaulted, arrested, dragged outside City Council, had his property torn away from him, at a at the Pie-In demonstration in April, has put a claim out against the city for $250, saying, "You can arrest me, but don't destroy my property." City attorney apparently does not agree with him and has recommended that the city council reject James Ney's claim. You can either talk about that before the closed session, if you want, or you can come at 3 o'clock for the afternoon administrative session of the city council on Tuesday. That's the day after tomorrow at city council, starts at 3, and talk about him, his claim, support him. He's item number 2 on the afternoon agenda, the consent agenda. You have to take it off. Other items of interest, $203,000 to approve additional funding for the Information Technology Master Plan. $203,000 is a lot of money. I'm looking at that, and I don't quite know what the hell they're talking about. Whenever I see an amount of money over $100,000, I start wondering what is going on here. Since these people are so cheap, they can't put porta-potties and dumpsters out in the industrial zones, I'm wondering why they're giving $200,000 away for an information technology master plan, and I would like to know what it is. Then item 6, Santa Cruz County Conference and Visitors Council authorizes and directs city manager to execute an agreement for visitor and tourism promotion and marketing services. You may remember that this council got $325,000 or $40,000 from city council recently for essentially, I'm not quite sure what they're doing that for. I'm not sure why the tourists, these businesses aren't paying for their own deal. Instead, they're getting you to pay for their ads. I mean, that's a good question. What's going on there? State of California, item 9, Office of Criminal Justice Planning grant acceptance, another afternoon agenda item at City Council on Tuesday. Resolution authorizes City Council to accept a grant from the California Office of Criminal Justice Planning for law enforcement technology equipment in the amount of $33,000 and to execute any documents by the city attorney. What is this about? More money for the cops could be good if we're dealing with some police services that need to be buffed up, or it could be another one of them open-ended, we spend, they give you some money now, but then the city has to keep paying for it, like the extra police officers that are getting hired, like the cops that got hired by Catherine Byer's deceptive maneuver to end the sleeping ban in the industrial zones. She claimed she needed more cops out there. She got the cops, but then she kept the sleeping ban. Police department service and facility use fees, that's item 10. And that's a resolution that's going to tell you you get to pay $64 for a police report, still, unless you happen to be the victim. And there's all kinds of conditions around it. We tried to get this changed last year. We couldn't. We didn't get any help from Christopher Crone or any of those fine council members that we those SCAN-supported council members. Remember those boys? Well, time to call in your chips. You got a new election or a campaign coming up. Let's put these issues on the front burner. That's item 10 tomorrow, on Tuesday at the City Council. Item 20, Downtown Commission bylaws, change in the meeting time. Downtown Commission is the group that initially gave us the downtown ordinance. Sit on the sidewalk, go to jail, ask for a dime after dark, get a ticket, all that sort of thing. They are just changing their hours. But it's always an opportunity to look into the Downtown Commission. By the way, the Brown Act, we are finding, applies to the Downtown Association. That means they cannot lock you out of their meetings, Peter Eberle's opinion notwithstanding. If you're more interested in this or anything about this, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Another item coming up on the afternoon agenda of City Council, the 3 o'clock session on Tuesday the 11th, golf course expansion. You see, they can't find a campground for the homeless, but they can find a way to pay for more golf course activity. Could be it's time for us to start Camp Quest and do a little camping up there on the golf course. See, if there's no place for legal place for people to sleep, they may just have to take a small segment of that very important golf course. Think about it. University Terrace Park Playground Cover and Surfacing Grant Acceptance, $25,000 for that. Don't want to talk about that right now. Also set an $80,000 grant to a company, for out-of-town company, San Jose, Lone Star Landscape, a capital improvement program. A lot of the stuff I don't know much about. I just look at the figures. I see if it's out-of-town. I see if it's a sole source provider. That is, if they don't allow for competitive bidding. And I comment on it. This tip was given to me by David Silva. David is, I haven't heard from him for a while. Of course, he's always welcome to call in. He works with the campaign to end the sleeping ban, and he was meeting Wednesdays at 5:30 at the Loudoun Nelson Center. I don't know if that's still going on. I know that he hasn't been to the last couple of the meetings. I assume he hasn't been too well, or he's had some problems. He was working on, again, trying to get the city council to keep its word to put the sleeping ban on the ballot. That was the deal they worked out in closed session with him alone, all alone, by his lonesome tootsies, without any other activists around. And unfortunately, again, I'm sorry he accepted that idea. I'm sorry we didn't push harder to let other activists into those, behind those closed chamber doors. No matter how much I approve of Mayor Sugar's ideological position on the sleeping ban, because I think he favors ending the ban, his process is so horrible, and his manner is so arrogant on this, and his determination to shut people out of these negotiations so intense that it's really, to me, it's kind of a crisis. We have a really bad person in the mayorship, a person who's acting really very badly around these issues, and repeatedly so, not just on one occasion, but again and again and again. And people keep telling me, well, you know, he's the best on the council, he's got the best in terms of being the most liberal, and I guess, you know, I am torn by that reality, but it's still really difficult for me. Again, talking about the city council agenda for Tuesday, those are items on the consent agenda. I just talked about all those little various items I just read to you. There's another $255,000 item, number 28, Watershed Sources Management Plan, $255,000 to be given to Swanson Hydrology and Geomorphology for professional services, Santa Cruz firm. That's $250,000. I don't know quite what it's going for, but I hope someone lets us know. I'm really sorry Scott Graham is not here to talk with us. He often keeps an eye on this. He and David Silver are important watchdogs around these issues. Community priorities ballot. There's a city provide direction regarding the preparation of a ballot measure to fund community priorities. Again, to me, this is smoke and mirrors. We've had these sessions about funding community priorities from the city council or having debates and forums on them, but they don't really involve any real introduction into the process for the ordinary person, and certainly not for activists who are disfavored by the city council. Homeless Garden Project funding for planning consultant, $25,000 for a planning consultant. This is the chrome-plated homeless garden project that doesn't even allow homeless people to harvest food, mind you. Get that. They sell it to middle-class people. It does provide, 20 jobs for homeless people at a very minimal wage. But they're harassing people who are sleeping up there. Not the Homeless Garden Project, of course, the police, and I presume Parks and Rec to some extent. That's item 32 on the council agenda in the afternoon. Redevelopment Agency, which I've been spending a lot of time looking at, is that's the agency that's concerned with supposedly building affordable housing and also redeveloping the downtown after the earthquake. 5 o'clock is their meeting on Tuesday. They have been going after the Dolphin Lee tenants with a vengeance, trying to make sure they get rolled over fast or else get threatened with their project being dropped. Neither of these things is happening on this agenda. You are allowed to speak during oral communications. If you want to talk about Dolphin Lee, that'll be at 5 o'clock. We had been concerned that at the last council meeting, they cut one oral communications period completely out. by making it a joint session of the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency. This time they haven't done that. If I commend Mayor Sugar on returning to the older practice of allowing us, you know, these tiny pittances of time, 3 minutes each, at both at 5 o'clock on redevelopment issues and at 7 o'clock on general issues. At 7 o'clock, you will be able to speak at oral communications for 3 minutes. I may not be allowed in that chamber. I tried to get from Mayor Sugar permission to return to City Council. As you may remember, he had me evicted at the last council meeting because I reminded him from the floor that he was interrupting a speaker and violating the Brown Act by so doing. He demanded I leave the room. I refused. He called four police officers and four squad cars. Everyone's got their own squad car these days. Thank you very much. I guess the budget is can afford that kind of thing. And I was told to leave the room. I left with the cops. He didn't file a charge, but he told me not to come back to the next council meeting. I wrote him a letter saying, please allow me to come in to... I absented myself from the council meeting that happened right after there was a special council. Next general meeting. When I saw him at the SCAN forum on Saturday, Mayor Sugar, I said, Mayor Sugar, this is in front of witnesses, I said, can I please come to the next council meeting since you, I'm assuming it's okay because I wrote you a letter. Oh, I didn't get your letter, he said. Well, it's been stamped, received, and it's sitting in the file in the city council offices. And I said, I assume that I can come to the next council meeting, which is actually Monday tomorrow. As I mentioned, there's a special one in the morning on the Beach Flats zoning. But then there's the regular one on Tuesday. And he said... he shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know, we'll see. Here's the man who believes in due process, supposedly. Here's the attorney. This is an environmental attorney, a man who is in charge with conducting business in our city and respecting the rights of the citizens and making sure that open process is allowed. Here's the guy who we elected for the New Deal. Remember the New Deal in 1998? That's Keith Sugar. So I don't know if I'm going to be arrested at the next city council meeting for just appearing. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to find out. In any case, there are three things you should look at on the next city council meetings, particularly at 7 o'clock. Oral communications, be there at 7, because I believe the famous Porta Potty Award is going to be given to a deserving council member to make sure that the shit comes out okay. The homeless are getting so much shit, we figure that it's only fair to give a little of that back to the city council and to give the council a little toilet training in the issue of how to deal with porta potties, since they can't seem to place them in the zones for homeless people. The second thing on the agenda is going to be the camping ordinance for the ballot. That is coming back as item number 35 at the 7 o'clock session of city council, and I invite you to be there. That they're going to kill it. Buyers are going to make sure of that. They will double-cross David Silva. They will not put it on the agenda. They'll put it on the agenda, but they won't put it on the ballot because they're so scared of getting all those conservatives out to vote against it and so against in favor of district elections and against SCAN. You should still be there supporting the right of homeless people to have a vote on the sleeping ban in November. That's item 35. Finally, the Homeless Issues Task Force, item number 37, will show up, but they will not allow you to talk about it. Well, I suggest people might want to challenge that policy in a peaceful way, or they might want to make it real clear that there are a number of people there who do want to talk about it and who were told they could talk about it on May 24th and now can't talk about it. Why talk about the Homeless Issues Task Force? Because they have led the fight in their own kind of blundering way to eliminate the camping ordinance. They actually, the first thing they did back in August was said end the camping ban. In December, they brought it back to city council, end the camping ban. Council refused to consider it. And again in April, when their homeless issues task force came to a conclusion, end the camping ban. Not just the sleeping ban sections, the entire damn law that makes it illegal for you to shield yourself and your family from the rain with a tent in a town where 700 to 1,500 homeless people every night have no legal place to sleep. So that's city council coming up. And I'm being reminded here by our sanitation engineer, Becky Johnson, bring toilet paper to the city council meeting. And also, there will be a meal at 6:30 provided by India Joe Schultz. And that's available for anyone who wants to come down there at 6:30 city council meeting. If you want more information, call 423-4833. The Huff line will be happy to give it to you. And now we're going to go out on a song here, which I think you'll enjoy. It's called Don't Put It in Your Mouth. Perhaps something the council needs to learn. because who knows what comes out of their mouths, by Uncle Banzai. Thank you for being with me. Please tune in again on Thursday at 6 o'clock, and stay tuned for some rollicking kid stuff from those overgrown kids, Little Red Hen. Are you still the Little Red Hen?
Yes. No, well,
the hen?
Little Red Hen is the name of the show.
Right? Little Red Hen is the name of the show. So stay tuned. We've got some cool chicks coming up. I got to say it.
Don't put it in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Don't assume it's candy for a minute. Don't take it from the ground or from a strange old man. Other kids have vanished when they did it. Don't bring it in the house, because it's not a toy. Don't you ever point it at your sister. Go put it in your room. I'll wash your mouth with soap. Then I'll put you to its every corner. Did you bring enough for everyone? Keep it to yourself or share or share. Go upstairs and think of what you've done. You're just not my kid, I swear, I swear, I swear, I swear. Don't swing that thing around. You just might poke an eye. Wipe that grin before it sticks forever. Don't leave it on the floor or feed it to the dog. If you break it, you won't get another. How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other. Don't try talking with your mouth, for you're behaving like your father. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth. Don't put it in your mouth. What if you should choke, even though you didn't choke the last time? You jump right off the bridge because the neighbor did. You should try to make your brain work sometime. Let me see your hands. Both hands, both sides. Stop that slipping now and blow and blow. And what is best for you is best for me. Don't ask why or how. Just go, just go, 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 just go. If you don't want to eat, we'll find someone who will. Starving kids in India will love it. And you'll just go to bed and stay there for a week, or put it in your mouth and swallow it. How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other. Don't try talking with your mouth full. You're behaving like your father. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth.